may be seated.
Grace and peace to you this day from our holy God and from the one who asks us to go tell. You've been on a journey here examining the seven habits of spiritual formation. Today I'd like to share a few thoughts with you about the fourth habit, sharing our faith. The story of the transfiguration of Jesus on the mountaintop, I think, holds for us an abundance of images about what sharing our faith can mean. We just heard the story of Jesus taking Peter, James, and John up the side of the mountain. And I would think that the three of them didn't think anything of it, that it was going to be anything different than what usually happened when they went up the side of a mountain with their Lord. But it was different, wasn't it? All of a sudden, Jesus appeared to be almost glowing and white and radiant, whiter than any human being could ever bleach anything. And then standing alongside him are Elijah and Moses, two fathers of the faith. It would be a scary experience for any of us. But Peter's response is to build three dwelling places so that they would have a place to stay, that they could remain there on the mountain in that place. I think it's easy for us to want to build our own dwelling places, places where we feel comfortable and protected. I think just like Peter, we all can get stuck at the top of our mountains too, wanting to settle in there and remain in those places with the people that we know, and always experiencing that glory of God. Let's not confuse or be confused by Jesus' command to keep silent, though. He's said that throughout the Gospel of Mark before we come to the 9th chapter. He keeps telling people to be quiet about what they've seen. I just wanted to go through some of those with you. Last week we heard about the leper who was healed and Jesus saying, "See that you say nothing to anyone." But he went out and began to proclaim it freely. And then we're told that whenever unclean spirits would see him, they would fall down before him, proclaiming, "You are the Son of God." But Jesus sternly ordered them not to make him known. There's the raising of the daughter of the man from the synagogue, the leader of the synagogue. And when he does this miraculous raising from the dead, Jesus invites only the mother and father and the three disciples, Peter, James, and John, into the room with him. And then we are told he strictly ordered them that no one should know this. There is a deaf man with a speech impediment that Jesus takes away from everybody into a private place, and he puts his fingers in his ears and touches his tongue, and the man's hearing is restored, and he's able to speak. And Jesus orders him to tell no one. But Scripture tells us the more he ordered them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. Then there's a blind man that Jesus says, "Don't even go into the village." Jesus did not want these miracles to be told. He had an agenda, and he knew that when people found out about these things, that his ability to move about and to share his word of grace and hope from God was going to run into some slowing down. It was going to make things more difficult for him and the disciples. Today, I think it can be easy for us to read Scripture, to compartmentalize it, and to hear these commands to keep silent and don't tell, and then we embrace them as our own. But unlike Peter and James and John, we see Jesus and his life and ministry differently because we see it through the lens of Christ's crucifixion and resurrection. And because of that very peace, that we know the end of the story, unlike the disciples did, we are always called to go tell, to go and share the mystery of God's love made flesh in this person called Jesus Christ, and to make it known that through Jesus, our sins are forgiven and we have eternal life. But just like Peter, it's our human nature to try to stay in those places where we have our mountaintop experiences. We have a tendency to hold on to them and to set up our dwelling places there to avoid going down the mountain. It's very natural for us to want to remain around the people who have had those same experiences with us. And it's this human trait, I think, that has contributed to the decline of Christian churches today, to the dying of congregations. We far too often set our houses of worship as our dwelling places, turning inward and only looking in towards ourselves and our own resources. We have to admit that we haven't always done a very good job of telling the story of God's love and promise. But it can be hard to turn outward, very hard. Last week, Pastor Steve talked about at the youth retreat how the kids shared with him that it was hard for them to share their faith. They didn't want to be seen as different. They didn't want to be set apart from their peers. And regardless of our age, regardless of how old we are the same. We don't want our faith to make us different and set us apart. This week, I entered Share Your Faith into Google and was blown away by what came up. But it made sense to me about how often we misunderstand what it is that God is calling us to do when we are called to share our faith. There are books and articles and rules and guidelines and all the things we are supposed to do in order to evangelize and witness for Christ. And I think oftentimes when the world hears the word Christian, that is their perception as well. And so we can be afraid that we are going to be set apart and misunderstood. But we are called to share our story, to share our faith with others in our own unique ways, with our own unique gifts and talents that God has given us. For my internship year at Luther Seminary, I did a split between a congregation in Crystal and North Memorial Hospital. I worked there as a chaplain for a year. And one day I got a note that there was a woman on the oncology unit that wanted a chaplain to come up and see her. So I took the information and I went upstairs, knocked on the door, and she told me in her, when I knocked, this gravelly voice said, "Come on in." When I got in there, the woman proceeded to start laughing hysterically. She was loud and raucous and almost falling out of her bed. I was getting a little uncomfortable about what it was she was laughing at. But once she calmed down a little bit, she said, "You know, I asked for a chaplain to come up because I wanted to debate the faith with them. And I fully expected that what would walk through the door would be an old, bald man that was going to give me a list of do's and don'ts." That perception of what it means to share our faith. We all have it. But this woman had been ostracized from her faith community some 40 years before that. And I learned over time about how that had affected her life. And even though it had been 40 years since she had gathered with a community, she had found ways to share the faith that defined her life and who she was. She made it a point that she lived her life in a way that other people saw who Christ was through her words and her actions. But she also made it her mission to try to break down some of those preconceived notions about what it is to share your faith. Christ doesn't ask us to be just like other people when we tell about our faith, when we share it. Christ wants us to do it our way. Christ wants us to bring our uniqueness to how we go and tell. I want to ask you this morning, why is it that you are a Christian? What is it about this person who James and Peter and John saw transformed on the mountaintop that makes a difference in your life? What about being a child of God brings you joy? That's all that you need to know. As long as you know that, you can tell the story. You can share your faith. As Christians, we share our faith every time we gather together, just like we are this morning, to hear God's word, to share the meal, to teach our children about our faith and pass it on, to pray. Each time the splash, we hear that splash of the waters of baptism. Every time we open our mouths to speak against injustice, violence. Every time we open our hands to share what we can financially or to give of our time or our unique talents, we share our faith. Even when we are silent, sitting next to somebody who has lost all hope and only holding their hand, we share our faith. Well, I am new here at Grace, but I have already seen ways that you, in particular, share your faith, ways that you go tell. You share it each time you come here, and the surrounding community gets a glimpse of a community gathered in faith in a spirit that is alive and active in this community. Each time you bring a meal to a family who is in crisis or has a new child, you share your faith. Every time you go down the road and pack a meal that will feed children all over the world, or help sort clothes, or donate tennis shoes, or give food to the food shelf, you share your faith. When you send a shipping container to Tanzania, or a mission group to Haiti, or when you gather around two children who have just tragically lost their second parent and offer your love and presence in uncounted ways, you share your faith. All of these are ways to share your faith above and beyond merely saying words. Sharing our faith is about how we live our daily lives, about how we go out into the world to show the world God's love and what it means to live as children of God. This Savior of ours makes a difference not only to us, but to others and to the world. And Christ has asked us not to keep silent, but to share our faith, both individually and as a community of faith, to share the glory and the promise that God has revealed to us through our mountaintop experiences and how others have shared their faith with us. Can give us the strength that we need to leave behind all of our private dwelling places and be a light of hope for others in the world. But even though there's a lot that we do, there is so much more. There is so much more that we can do to share our faith. Though it can be scary, We are called to look at new ways to share that good news. And so during this Lenten season, this time of contemplation, I want you to consider what the meaning of Christ's death is for you. What does it mean that Christ died for your sake and for the sake of the world? I invite each of you to spend some time in prayer and think about what it is that God is calling you to do, ways that you can share your faith, not only how you already do, but in ways that you've never even thought of. I want you to think about what it will mean for you to share and go tell in a new way. And then I pray that you will not be silent, but that you will go and you will tell. Amen.
Please stand. Since this is Transfiguration Day,